From the Tillicum House in downtown Astoria, Oregon, this is Coast Community Radio. I'm Anne, and you're listening to Cold Coast, a show dedicated to finding and identifying the missing and unidentified persons of Tillamook, Pacific, and Clatsop counties. Please note that this show covers subjects that could be disturbing to some. It's time to dive in to Cold Coast. The year is 1986. Surveying and excavating for the Cannon Beach Junction project of Highway 101 and Highway 26 has begun and then stalled. Cars speed by traveling to and from the coast, logging trucks that rattle out empty return heavy and full. Families on road trips wind lazily north and south, lunching, picnicking, their windows down. Logging and fishing jobs are ripe for the picking. Vagrants and walkabouters keep to the right of the white line, putting one foot in front of the other, to destinations they keep to themselves. The weather is accommodating for strangers to be seen and then unseen. The summer lays long on the mind. And then finally Memorial Day arrives, and suddenly summer is over. School buses transport junior and senior high school students north to Seaside, then back home again. The Crab Broiler restaurant is in the middle of its heyday. Its gravel parking lot is full of cars. The smell of food pulls at the stomach. But 300 feet away, and just beyond the tree line of young hemlock, spruce, and fir trees, a pair of tents wait, seemingly abandoned. It wouldn't be until September 10th, 1986, that the body of a male would be found inside one, next to a pile of cigarette cartons, some toilet paper, and a stack of neatly folded clothing. 33 years later, this person remains unidentified. According to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, the male had been roughly 6 feet tall and 160 pounds, with thick red hair and had a prominent beard and mustache. Evidence led investigators to believe he had been between the ages of 30 to 45 at the time of his death, which could have been any time between 1985 and 1986. All that time waiting in a tent near a busy road. He hadn't been dressed for summer. This man had mindfully layered his clothing, a green windbreaker as the outside layer, then a McGregor brand V-neck cardigan sweater with leather buttons, next a long-sleeved button-down blue shirt with a red and tan pattern underneath for extra warmth, and finally blue work-style pants with Scoville engraved on the zipper. He had then pulled a knitted hat down over his head and gone to sleep, not knowing he wouldn't wake up. His cause of death has not been released, and inquiries to the Clatsop County Sheriff's Office did not produce any more information than what is available on the NamUs database. Quite possibly, his death was assumed to be drug or alcohol related, an early fatality to the war on drugs mentality. But no paraphernalia was listed at the scene, besides clothing and cigarettes. The owners of the Crab Broiler restaurant were not aware of anyone being found deceased near their restaurant, and asking former customers and employees of the Crab Broiler did not bring up any more leads as to who this person could have been. Unfortunately, Cannon Beach police have failed to comment. Library collections of past Daily Astorian articles didn't hold much more information until finally I stumbled upon a small article that gave just a little more insight. Daily Astorian, September 11th, 1986. Workers discover body at campsite. Authorities are investigating the death of an unidentified man whose badly decomposed body was found Wednesday in the woods near the Cannon Beach Junction. A pair of Oregon Highway Division employees working on the Junction Realignment Project discovered the body 1/4 mile west of the junction of U.S. Highway 101 and 26, Clatsop County District Attorney Steve Gertula said. The body reported to authorities around 8:39 a.m. was found inside a tent at a campsite just south of Circle Creek. Gertula said identification could be difficult. The body was in the advanced stage of decomposition. He estimated that the man had been dead for at least 2 months. A sleeping bag was draped across the lower half of the clothed body, he added. A second tent at the campsite contained clothing and camping gear, Gertula said. Lieutenant Dan Laufman of the Clatsop County Sheriff's Office said Highway Department surveyors had seen the tents the first week of July, but had assumed they belonged to the National Guard units involved in training exercises in the area. Gertula said the case had been classified as an unexplained death. It is interesting that both tents had been seen earlier, in July of 1986, by survey crews, but had been assumed to be part of a National Guard group stationed in the area. In the early 1980s, a surplus store between Gearhart and Seaside called Deborah's Surplus had sold decommissioned Army surplus, which makes me wonder if our John Doe had purchased one or both of the tents there. Unfortunately, as time drags on, it's possible anyone with a memory of this specific person or purchase might be gone themselves. That's why it's so important to keep cases like this one fresh in our minds. I've posted sample stock images of the cardigan sweater and zipper logo, as well as a copy of the Daily Astorian article on our Cold Coast Facebook and Instagram accounts. You can find those by searching for @ColdCoastRadio on Facebook or Instagram. If you have any information regarding this open, unidentified person's case, please contact Veronica Nikki Vance, a forensic anthropologist for the Oregon State Police Medical Examiner's Office, regarding case number UP10891 at 971-673-8200. Joining us, you're listening to Cold Coast on Coast Community Radio. Before the break, we discussed an unidentified person's case from 1986, but now we fast forward over a decade. Oregon is known for its crisp fall mornings, with thick fog that hangs suspended above the dark green evergreen trees. The air bites at any exposed skin, warning that summer is long gone and winter quickly approaches. Leaves curling at the edges and orange pine needles litter the forest floor, and only evergreen huckleberries, salal, and springy ferns stand up green. The ground has gone cold, leaving behind a feeling of anticipation. Local forestry and tree farms open their land to hunters and foragers who flood remote locations searching for big game like elk and deer, or mushrooms such as chanterelle, boletes, and morel, just to name a few. Mushroom pickers live for these mornings. The time of harvest has come, and they move adeptly through the trails, their eyes set toward the ground as they search for the springy tops of fungi. The last thing they expect to find is a body. But that's exactly what happens to two mushroom pickers on the morning of November 3rd, 1999. The call to local law enforcement came in around 8:30 a.m., and within hours, the Clatsop County Major Crime Team, with the assistance of the Clatsop County Search and Rescue Unit, search a wooded area off of Highway 26 near Milepost 29, off of McGregor Road, a logging road in the Coast Range. Scattered within a wooded area, the remains, including a skull and lower jaw with all teeth intact, of a young female are found. Investigators believe she was between the ages of 16 to 30 at the time of her death and had been roughly 5 feet 2 inches tall and weighed approximately 105 to 115 pounds. She was possibly of Native American or Asian descent. Found near the remains were a pair of blue Levi 501 jeans, ribbed socks, and an Exhilaration brand black belt with a large silver peace buckle, which was sold by Target. Officials believe she had been exposed to the elements for over a year, and due to extensive predation, remains were found spread over a wide area, eliminating the possibility of knowing the hair or eye color of the deceased. Because of the remote location that the body was found, she wouldn't have wandered there from the highway without shoes, a shirt, or a jacket, so it's more likely that she had been brought there. Skeletal analysis indicated that the deceased had a jaw deformity that would have been noticeable all of her life. She may have given birth in the past as well. Luckily, the remains yielded full nuclear and mitochondrial DNA profiles, which are stored in the National Database for Possible Associations with Missing Persons around the country. Dental x-rays have also been uploaded into the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System for future comparisons to missing person cases throughout the United States. Images of the Exhilaration belt and buckle, as well as facial reconstruction images and updated sketches, and a copy of the short Daily Astorian article regarding the McGregor Road Jane Doe, are posted on Cold Coast's Facebook and Instagram accounts. Once again, you can find that information on Facebook or Instagram by searching for @ColdCoastRadio. If you have any information regarding this open unidentified persons case, please contact Veronica Nikki Vance, a forensic anthropologist for the Oregon State Police Medical Examiner's Office, regarding case number UP8489 at 971-673-8200. We'll have more after the break. Welcome back to Cold Coast on KMUN Astoria. Before the break, we reviewed a local unidentified person's case of a female between the ages of 16 to 30 at the time of her death, who is believed to have been of Native American or Asian descent, found in 1999. It's interesting to note that the McGregor Road Jane Doe might still be unidentified not because people aren't looking for her, but because the ability for tribal and federal government agencies to communicate is difficult at best. Even at the local level, not all agencies have a policy or procedure to exchange information easily. County coroners in Oregon, for example, have the arduous task of calling other county and state agencies to see if cases that they are currently working on might match the description of missing person cases in other areas. But when you look at the larger picture, the FBI's National Crime Information Center reported nearly 6,000 Native American women and girls as missing in 2016, but only 116 cases were actually recorded. This imbalance is not only a crisis of safety for Native and Indigenous women and girls, but a national, if not international, data crisis. According to Oregon State Representative Tana Sanchez, on some reservations, federal studies have shown that women are killed at more than 10 times the national average. Predators believe that they can get away with abducting or killing American Indian women because of scant law enforcement presence there. In 2017, Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota introduced Savannah's Act to Congress in honor of 22-year-old North Dakota resident Savannah LaFontaine Graywind of the Spirit Lake Nation, who was brutally murdered in August of 2017, her unborn child cut from her stomach, helping to bring to light the horrific statistics regarding abuse and homicide of Native American women. This act would set procedures and requirements to increase coordination among all levels of law enforcement for data collection and information sharing between tribal agencies and federal, state, and local agencies. It would also empower tribal governments with the resources they need in cases involving missing and murdered Native American women and girls, whether it's on federal, state, or tribal land. The original bill ultimately was stalled by Virginia Rep. Bob Gulati before the government shutdown, but was reintroduced in 2019 by Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican from Alaska, and Senator Catherine Cortez, a Democrat out of Nevada, as well as Oregon's own state senator, Jeff Merkley, among a handful of other bipartisan senators. Articles regarding the staggering number of missing and murdered Native American women and girls, as well as the current text of Senate Bill 227, Savannah's Act, are posted on Cold Coast's Facebook and Instagram accounts. I urge you to contact Senator Merkley to show your support for this bill. It could save a life or finally bring someone home. Special thanks are in order for Oregon State Medical Examiner Dr. Nikki Vance, Clatsop County Coroner Joanne Giuliani, and Detective Ryan Humphrey of the Clatsop County Sheriff's Office for answering my barrage of questions. Both the Cannon Beach Junction John Doe and the McGregor Road Jane Doe cases are waiting to be solved, and someone somewhere knows something, despite the time that has passed. It's possible you might have information or know details that can finally bring closure to these mysteries. My name is Anne, and you've been listening to Cold Coast on Coast Community Radio in Astoria, Oregon, a show dedicated to finding and identifying the missing and unidentified persons of Tillamook, Pacific, and Clatsop counties. A list of this episode's music selections are available on our Facebook account. Join me for the next episode, where we cover another open, cold case from our community.
Drowning here in summer's cauldron.